Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined on the line by Andy Holding to look ahead to the card at the Curragh on Sunday afternoon. It is, of course, Irish Cesarewitch Day. We had the English equivalent on Saturday. Sunday, eyes turn to the Curragh. And it's a pretty competitive race, as the English one was. It's a pretty competitive card. In fact, plenty of runners to get our teeth stuck into. But hopefully, a successful day's punting ahead. Good morning, Mr. Holding.
Morning, Mr. Dunn.
How are you?
I'm good, yeah. I'd wish I'm talking to you and doing this podcast over in Ireland today rather than doing it from the comfort of my own office back in Holding Towers.
Hmm.
But I'm afraid Rother Glen hasn't played ball this week, and all the best plans are literally been scuppered because he was supposed to run in the Irish Cesarewitch today. Unfortunately, his last piece of work in midweek, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, he didn't stride out particularly well, so we've had to pull the plug on him, which is really frustrating because, as it's turned out, there's only now 21 runners and €60,000 in the pot. He would have a great chance in that race off what was quite a decent mark. So we're really, all of us, obviously, if the horse is not right, he's not right, but it's a real body blow.
Yeah, of course, Rother Glen, trained by John Quinn, a horse that you have, that you own in part. It is a shame that it's not there, but do we know any aims for him throughout the season now?
Not as yet. It was all about the Irish Cesarewitch, and then we were going to take it from there. That was the kind of like the final brick in the wall, really, to see where we go rest of the season. We'll map a campaign out with him after, would have been that, very competitive race. And, we've talked about races like the Great Wood and some of those competitive handicaps. But those four-year-old, five-year-olds, they tend to sort of struggle when they go into the older handicap company. And he's a bit of a fragile type, as we well know, and that's two races now he's missed because of a last-minute setback and injuries. I think the problem is if you target him at a certain race because of the way he is, you can never really guarantee him making the track because of his frailties. He's just quite a difficult horse to campaign at the moment. We aren't really sure what the next plan is.
Mm. Okay, but nevertheless, it is a competitive race, the Irish Cesarewitch, that one coming up at 4:20. We'll get to that in just a moment. We're also going to preview one race at Limerick, of course, the Munster National coming up, but we'll get to that shortly. We'll start at the Curragh with the 1:35. The first race is a filly's maiden over 7 furlongs. Not a whole amount of good form to go off here, Andy. At the time of recording, Ask Me Nicely and New Alliance are 7-2 joint favourites, both of whom bring solid enough form to the table, I suppose, and are for respected connections.
Yeah, it's one of these odd maidens that you get from time to time when most of the main protagonists have had quite a few runs and they are relatively exposed, and your nature tends to almost shy away from those and look for the ones with perhaps a little bit more upside. But on the flip side of that, I think those two, New Alliance and Ask Me Nicely, as you've quite rightly pointed out, even though their form figures aren't persuasive, they've both run against decent horses in fairly good company. Both of them have actually been in pattern races. New Alliance, of course, fifth behind Jack Naylor at Leopardstown on the 24th of July. And, of course, the second Agnes Stewart and the third qualifier both won group races subsequently. Indeed, Jack Naylor ran a blinder in the Premier Salbusac, finishing third to Found. So the overall standard of that race was useful. And albeit she got beat the other day in the stall, which was a bit of a body blow to those that made her favourite that day. She got beat by a horse called Smuggler's Cove, who won at Dundalk the other night in quite impressive fashion. So arguably she's the pick here. And around about 7-2 looks fair enough. Although I actually quite like Ask Me Nicely though, because the form of her last race in the Weld Park Stakes is also at a very high standard. She tried to make the running that day, and although she succumbed to one or two nice horses late on, the time of that race is very good. She, even in finishing fifth, she still comes out with a very good speed figure, and she's actually top of my numbers because of that. So it is a bit of a toss-up between the front two in the market for me here. There are one or two other nice horses in the race, including Acid, who looks a nice big filly by Clodderville, but I think she might need a bit more time. So I want to go with Ask Me Nicely. Aidan O'Brien often does really well on these Sundays here in the Curran. Hopefully this filly by Fastnet Rock can start the ball rolling.
Okay, Ask Me Nicely. The pick there in the 1.35. Next up is the 2.10. It is a maiden over 7 furlongs, and we have precisely no form to go off here whatsoever. We've got 23 debutants heading down to post. At the time of recording, Jacobean is your 13-8 market leader. Obviously for Aidan and Joseph O'Brien, this one, Andy, got to be respected, but 13-8 for, well, an unknown quantity, I suppose, is pretty short, isn't it?
Yeah, you need to be on the inside here, really, to have a bet in this race. Obviously, Jacobean's been put in a skinny-looking 7-4, 13-8, and that's usually pretty much how it goes here in Ireland. Aidan O'Brien often has the favourite just automatically. Interesting, this race was a very good one last year. Eben Oram won it, but there was a whole host of horses that subsequently gone on to prove themselves in Patton Company. So I think this is probably just a watching race rather than getting heavily involved in it financially. The only market move this morning, as far as I could see, was, funny enough, Aidan O'Brien's second string, Royal Navy ship. William Hill have gone 18-1 this morning, but I think that's going to be severely under threat because quite a few firms have already seen some early morning business for this horse by Wolf Runs. And he's got a good draw as well, potentially in stall one. I think when you race on that far side rail at the Curra on yielding ground, you want to be as far as you can onto that far rail. So he's certainly got that advantage, but it's very little to talk about here. I don't know any of these horses. I don't know what's been going well. Even my Irish mole, who I contacted about 10 minutes before this preview, he had not got a dicky bird, he said, so he's heard nothing. If he's heard nothing, then it's not worth knowing. So all I'll say is no bet offered up, but keep an eye on this race for the future.
Okay, fair enough. Next up is the 2.40, a filly's maiden over a mile and a furlong. Again, not the strongest form in this one, but fast net missed, easy for me to say, for the Watchman team. Does bring pretty solid form to the table. Again, 5-4 at the time of recording is pretty skinny, but you'd have to see this one going close, wouldn't you, Andy?
You would, really, yeah. All known form, she should take this quite comfortably, really, as her odds imply. I think she'll start round about the even money mark, and she's definitely deserved of that price tag. Her run last time out, albeit, was a bit disappointing at the time when she got beat as an 8-15 favourite down in Killarney. Time has told her that she bumped into a very useful filly in the shape of Altes from the Jim Bolger stable, who mowed her down late on. I think it was a combination of the two things. Obviously, she was up against a listed filly in a maiden at Killarney, which was obviously that was a bit of a shock at the time. But that horse, Altes, has gone to finish placed in two listed races subsequently. There was 8.5 lengths back to a nice horse called Mazzetta. So she probably didn't run as bad as it appeared on the actual day itself. She also probably didn't stay as well. Actually, I've got a theory about her. I think she's probably better over shorter distances, even though connections have been trying her over beyond the mile and a quarter. You know, that fourth in a listed race at Naseby on Carla Bianca, Palace and Circling also reads well. At a mark of 95, she probably wouldn't even need to run to that to win this race, but she's going to be running close to it, and that should be good enough. Of what we know, Dilawana looks the only threat, but to be fair, she was disappointing when I tipped her last time down in Roscommon, and she's got questions to ask. So, yeah, even over 5-4, that does look plenty short enough given the size of the field. I actually think if you actually tear strips into this field, I think that 5-4 actually is quite a good bet.
Okay, fair enough. Next up is the 310. It is a listed race over 6 furlongs. Vistoria, popular at the head of affairs. 15-8 from 9-4 at the time of recording. Great Minds in at 9-2. Russian Soul at 5s and 11-2, or bigger the rest. Some interesting types in here, not least the market leader. I know that you're a pretty big Russian Soul fan as well. Flight Risk comes here unexposed. There's a few angles into this race, Andy, but which one do you fancy?
Yeah, I certainly respect Vistoria here. She's obviously had one or two problems this season for Edmund Lynham, but Eddie's got all the best sprinters in the world in his care, hasn't he? Slade Power, Soul Power, and a few up-and-coming horses as well, including Agnes Stewart for next season. So he's got some really good sprinters to work his best horses with, and Vistoria certainly would be up there with the pick of the crop. Basically, she just wants soft ground, so her sort of campaign and choices this season have been few and far between. She's coming here off the back of a reasonable effort last time out when, probably the trip and obviously quality of opposition being a Group 1 just took its toll late on. I think we've got to judge her really on what she did last year. On her day, she was really good. And that's the sort of question you've got to ask yourself, whether you want to take 15 to 8 about a horse who's only had 2 runs this season up against one or two horses who are, much more fitter and showing more promising form. So with that in mind, at the prices, I'd probably just squirm in favour of Great Minds for one. I do think 9-2, 5-1 for this horse is a decent bet. He's definitely going the right way. 2-2 this season, 2-2 at the Curragh, both on an easy surface. And both he's caught the eye travelling really strongly in his races as well. He's done really well to win last time out because he was drawn in the coffin box. Anyone that knows the Curragh on a regular basis will know that drawn 1 of 20... you've got to be a very, very good horse to overcome that particular stall position. And he did it with aplomb as well. He travelled well through the race, as is his wont. And in the end, he won quite comfortably. He's obviously now rated in the sort of like the listed category. And I think, Tommy Stack has obviously had a spring-autumn campaign on his mind. He's kind of missed out the summer months when the ground's too firm. He goes well fresh as well. Two of his best runs in his life have gone off the back of runs off the track of over 160 day plus. So I think he's going to run a huge race here. And also, I do think Flight Risk is worth an interest as well. I'll certainly mention, I do quite like this horse. He's been pitched into the deep end right from the word go. On his first race in his career last year, he was running a listed race and he covered himself with glory. He then ran in a Group 3 on his first start this year in a race that was won by Screen Blue Murder in a very fast time. That race has worked out really well. The winner and the second have both gone on to run well subsequently. And he was doing his best work at the end. He then also caught the eye last time at Dundalk in a conditions race won by Caspian Prince. He just got taken off his feet that day. That firm surface, quick ground at Dundalk on the all-weather, plus the combination of 5 furlongs, just found him out. But he did do some really good work late on, and his last 2 speed figures have been excellent. He's also drawn stall 11 as well today. That's usually the best place to be at the Curragh, as you well know, right up the stand rail. So if he can hold his position early on, I think Flight Risk, given the way he comes home, should be there or thereabouts at the finish. So my two against the field there, A Great Minds and Flight Risk.
Okay, two against the field in that one. Next up is the 3:45. It is another listed race, this time for fillies. A mile the trip for this one. Again, bits and pieces of nice enough form going around on this one. Together Forever is popular at the head of affairs. 13-8 for Aidan and Joseph O'Brien. But there are some likely types in here, Andy.
There are, yeah. Quite surprised that Together Forever so short in the betting this morning. I would go along with the belief that she's probably just about got the best form in the race. Of course, second to Found in that really good race at the Curragh. Found went on to win the Moyglare, and third to Jack Naylor at the Curragh in a listed race. Jack Naylor's gone on to finish third in the pre-mile, so Boussac behind the aforementioned Found. So collaterally, Together Forever just probably hold sway here, but there are one or two others in this race that might cause one or two anxious moments, and I'm hoping that Jeannie Girl will run well here. And she's my selection, particularly at the price. She's round about 4-1, 9-2 this morning. And with sort of round about 9 or 10 runners going to post, I think there might be a non-runner this morning, but we should still get enough for each way betting. This filly by Rip Van Winkle's got to run well here. She's already got proven Group 3 form here at the Curragh. That was beyond I'm Beautiful. She ran okay last time out in the Moyglare, but I just think making the running that day rather set it up for the rest, and those tactics were probably not the wisest in the world. But I think today she'll find this company and opposition a little bit more easier. She's got a good draw as well on the far side over the mile, of course, at the Curragh. That's definitely a good place to be, right up against that far fence. So I think she's ridden with a bit more restraint today. Junior Girl certainly has the form to shake the feathers of the favourite. And at 4-1, like I say, I do think at the very, very worst, she'll get a run for your money. She'll get most of your money back. So she's the choice.
Okay. Next up is the Irish Chazarowicz coming up at 4:20. 2 miles the trip, obviously, and a really competitive race, Andy. We've got 9-2 favourite at the time of recording is Clondor Warrior for Willie Mullins. Then 7-1 for Ted Veal. 9s for Hidden Universe. 11s Eye of the Tiger. 12s for Magenta. 14s or bigger the rest. You can give a chance to the majority in this field, Andy. But which one has taken your eye the most?
Well, it's with a heavy heart that I rather preview this race. As I said in the preamble, Rutherglen should have been in this race off a mark of 78. And given that the race has cut up quite markedly, there's no real sexy horses in it now. All of us are absolutely devastated he's not here to make the gig. I think if I was assessing this race now with Rutherglen in it, I'd have to say the two main dangers and the two I'd be worried about are Clondor Warrior and Asprey Boss. I've had a few quid on both of these two horses this morning. Clondor Warrior is one of the biggest sort of enigmas of the whole season. He absolutely bounded to victory at Tremor on the 16th of August, winning by 8 lengths, beating a subsequent winner in the shape of Anna Haven. And then remarkably, he managed to get beat off a mark of 58. He had just a £6 penalty. 2 days later at Roscommon, he got beat by a horse called Grandma Dotty, which is one of the mysteries of the turf, to be honest. How on earth this horse managed to lose that day is just a complete and utter mystery. And an absolute body blow to those that thought he was just a certainty on legs that day. He obviously was reassessed, and he actually then went to win off a mark of 74, pouring salt into the already deep wounds of those that backed him at 2-9 the time before. How a horse can get beat off 58 and then win off 74 is obviously a bit of a head-scratcher. He's now up to 87, but I still think there could be some more petrol in the tank with this horse. I don't think he's quite finished, and he's a real smooth traveller that's got a touch of quality about him. So I think he could be still potentially quite well in. And I do like this other horse as well that I mentioned, Asprey Boss. For those of you that follow the podcast on a regular basis will know how strongly I believe in that form down in Listowel. Break My Mind landed a touch for the podcast on his last start at Fairy House. And a great horse also won in Roscommon. So the second and third are both ranked the form of Asprey Boss. And he looked a real strong stayer that day off the back of Sound Fractions. He won in a very fast time, and I think he should easily stay this trip. And if he does, he's going to be very effective here, I think. So he's a 14-1 shot this morning, and he's one of those 3-year-olds with a bit of upside that I still think there's a bit of juice left in his profile. Rawnak would be the other one at a price I'd mention. He was third to the Ebor winner the last time he came to the Curragh. That was back in June. Obviously, Mutual Regard took that race before going on to glory on the Naismire. And Rawnak ran reasonably well in that race as well. And he's also coming off the back of a chase win last time out. So I've mentioned three there in that race. Clondor Warrior, Asprey Boss and Rawnak. But my two bets are the former pair.
OK, so Clondor Warrior and Asprey Boss.
Yep.
OK. Next up is the 450. It is an apprentice handicap over a mile. 13-2 the field at the time of recording. Where on earth do we start with this one, Andy?
Yeah, I quite like this race, actually. I didn't think there was that many that caught my attention and made me want to part with some cash. But Bo Satchel would certainly be one of them, a horse that I tipped last time out of Dundalk. And I'm staying loyal to Adrian McGuinness, his informed four-year-old. If you look at his last 5 or 6 runs, he's just been in spanking good form throughout the summer, and he continues to flourish. He likes reasonable surface. He's won on good ground, and he's won on yielding ground, so the conditions here today at the Curragh shouldn't be an inconvenience. And being an apprentice race, Ado has gone out of his way to book Donica O'Brien as well, which has obviously got to be a massive plus. He's got good form here at this track behind Hassanor early on in the season when he finished second. And his last 3 speed figures have all been good in victory and defeat. So I think Bo Satchel is sure to go well. And the other one to mention is a horse called Yava from the Richard Bramerson stable, a horse that's caught the eye on quite a few runs this season. And most of them have actually come here at the over this course. His latter run when he finished third behind Doc Holliday in a good speed figure was one of his better runs. They booked Tom Madden for him as well, which is also another major positive. So in whittling the field down, I've come to the conclusion that Bo Satchel and Yava are definitely worth their bets respectively at 13-2 and 16-1 this morning.
Okay, fair enough. Next up is, well, it's the final race, isn't it? The 5:20, a listed contest over a mile and a half. At the time of recording, Tirana is in the betting at 7-2, Emerita at 6s, 13-2 for Second Step and Altes, 8s or bigger the rest. Nice race this, Andy, and the Aga Khan certainly have a strong hand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's got the front two in the betting, hasn't he? The most consistent one is Tirana, and the most unexposed one is Emirate, a difficult horse to assess in many respects, having won a couple of races and got a mark of 102. So the handicappers obviously thinking that Dermot Wells filly is, you know, this standard already, and that's very much how the Master of Rosewell sees it as well. I think if you're just looking for one solid one, it would be Tirana. She's danced every dance this season, and she's been dining at pretty much the top table with regard to staying fillies. Her best performance came when she won in Galway two starts ago, beating Altes. And although she got beat last time out, I don't think there's any disgrace in it to Vintage Novo down in Listowel. I certainly think Emirati is worth respect. But the one I'm going to select here at the prices is Altes. Obviously, we get a good look at the form early on with that Fastnet Miss running the maiden early on the card. And her last two runs have been nothing more than a horse going in the right direction. She got beat by Tirana down in Galway, but it was more of the circumstances of the race and a lack of track craft and knowledge, really, that got her beat that day. She got outpaced coming up the hill and then finished very strongly once the gap had appeared, but it was too late when Tirana had already flown. She ran over 2 miles here the last day and travelled supremely well in that race, but just got outstayed by a nice horse of John Carley's called Toe the Line. But I don't think there's anything wrong in that form, because the third Callan had finished second to Estimate in the Doncaster Cup previously to that, and they pulled well clear of him. So she proves that she stays. We know that she goes well at the Curragh with her run last time out. She hasn't got too much to find with Tirana, and I still think, because she's only had three runs, there's plenty more progression to come. You can back around about 7-1 this morning. So Altes, quite a confident each-way choice in the final race.
OK, great stuff, Andy. We are just going to quickly touch on the Munster National coming up from Limerick on Sunday afternoon. That one at 5:10. It's actually a decent card over at Limerick today, but no space to fit it in, and the Curragh will take priority, but this 5:10 is a good race. At the time of recording, Bozicard is your 7-2 market leader. Champalas 6-1. Tens or bigger the rest. Typically open racer, as these kind of races tend to be, Andy. But is there one that's taking your eye here?
Yeah, there is, yeah. So also taken the eye of Tom Segal as well in the Racing Post. I very rarely bet in the overnight markets nowadays, because I think sometimes you're just banging your head against the wall and wasting your time. But I got a few pals of mine to back Bo's iCard for me yesterday at 6-1. Actually mentioned it to Craig Forsyth as well. I sent a text message to him. It's not normally his game, but I still think this horse is incredibly well treated here, and connections have gone out of the way to book Ruby Wars. Now, Ruby would really struggle to get down to 10-3, but hopefully he'll do the weight here, because I think Narmid's 6-year-old has got a massive chance here. He looked really impressive over fences in two starts this season. And he's also been mixing it over hurdles as well to a good degree of success down Royal and Bellystown. But it's his last run that I think is the most eye-catching one. It was an absolute terrible ride by Paul Carberry. Now, I'm not sure whether Paul Carberry's been jocked off, or he can't do the weight, or he's chosen to ride another horse instead. I can't think he would have chosen anything other than Boz Eichel to ride in this race. But it was an absolute horlicks of a ride. He should have won that race easily down in Clonmel. But instead of pressing the button when he was travelling well to home straight, he tried a showboat, and he made a bad mistake at the second last. He was slow into the last, and he then allowed Presenting Bearer, who had made the run-in, to get first run on him. And agonisingly, even though he was reeling that horse in on the run-in, it was such a short run-in that he couldn't quite make up the real estate that he'd lost. So I think that was one that Paul Garbury would have sleepless nights over. And, obviously Ruby Walsh has got a chance to make amends today. He likes good ground, he jumps well, he's got a good cruising speed. And off a mark of 120, I still think he's incredibly well treated. So I think Bo Sokard here is one of the best bets, if not the best bet of the day over in Ireland. And I think he'll go very close to winning that Munster National.
Okay, great stuff, Andy. Thanks very much for your time, for your picks at the Curragh and at Limerick as well. Best luck with all the selections, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, Matt. Cheers, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.